Welcome to Advance, an NCEES podcast series. I'm your host, Davey McDowell, Chief Operating Officer at NCEES. March is not only Women's History Month, but National Surveyors Week also takes place March 21st through 27th this year. To celebrate, we have a very special guest on our podcast today, Carrie Colburn. Carrie is a professionally licensed land surveyor in Georgia and holds a Bachelor of Science degree in land surveying from Purdue University. She has over 30 years' experience in surveying, including boundary, ALTA, topographic, route, GIS data collection, construction layout, and as-built surveys. Her background ranges from field data collection to survey computations to project and business management. Carrie also owns her own surveying business, GeoTerra USA, LLC, and is certified as a female business enterprise with the City of Roswell, Georgia, and with Fulton County, Georgia. She is active in the Surveying and Mapping Society of Georgia and is currently serving as the Etowah Chapter Representative to the State Surveying and Mapping Society of Georgia Board and the Public Relations Committee Chairman. Outside of work, she enjoys glassmaking and working with children, introducing them to the surveying profession. Carrie is going to share her surveying story with us today, including what it's like to be a women-owned business owner and why it was important to her to become professionally licensed. Thank you, Carrie, for joining us. I'm really looking forward to our conversation. So let's jump right in. Welcome. And what I want to do is kind of start out this podcast and talk a little bit about your surveying story. So what got you into surveying, you know, why you became a surveyor, and what decisions were along the way that impacted this decision to become a surveyor?
Several things came together to get me into surveying. One, I only really wanted to go to Purdue University. That's where my dad went. And we would go back for football games. But we moved out of state, and I didn't get accepted to engineering from out of state because it was so competitive. I got accepted in science and had to transfer into engineering. And I couldn't figure out what type of engineer I wanted to go to. But my dad was an electrical engineer, was trying to push me that way. And I was in a civil engineering Explorer Scouts group in high school, which I really loved. And the one night we did surveying, I really kind of enjoyed that. And I've always been an outdoors person. And when I kept taking all the personality tests, they kept coming back to surveying. So I thought back to that night and the civil engineering Explorer Scouts. And so that's what finally swayed my decision to it. I took all the freshman engineering classes at Purdue and then had my grades high enough to transfer into engineering my sophomore year. And that's where my adventure started.
So tell me a little bit about that particular path in terms of the educational part. So you have was surveying a separate type of degree, or was it a specialty area within civil engineering?
It was its own degree. It was a bachelor of surveying land surveying at Purdue. But it was within the School of Civil Engineering. So you could either get, you know, a civil engineering degree or a land surveying degree at the time. And that was, you know, in the 80s. So Purdue, Ohio State, I think Fresno, there were only a handful of schools that offered a four-year degree.
Yeah, a four-year degree in surveying.
Yes.
So kind of stepping through that, you've got this background within civil engineering. You go to Purdue, get your degree in surveying, and then what? So you're graduated from college. Where do you go then?
Well, the year I graduated in 1985. I had offers in Texas, St. Louis, Pittsburgh, and Washington, D.C. And unlike most people who go into surveying, you know, I went into it right out of high school. You know, most people go into it either go back to school for it because they realize they're not going to get ahead without a degree. You know, they need a degree for their license. So there was only myself and one other student who was a third generation surveyor that was straight out of high school. I chose to go to D.C. because I wanted to be somewhere where I was actually out on my own, away from my parents. You know, my husband and I were just dating at the time. I wanted to kind of be out on my own for a little while. So my parents had been visiting a friend in D.C. and my offer was from Dewberry, which was Dewberry and Davis at the time. My dad said, you know, last time we were here visiting, they were surveying the White House. If you're going to visit, go to work for a company, one that surveys the White House seems like it'd be a pretty good one to go to. So that's where I went. And I was at DuBerry and Davis from 1985 to 1990 and got laid off in September 1990. But in the meantime, I had had we had got married and I had a baby in January of 1990. So, you know, here I was laid off with a 9-month-old baby, wondering what I was going to do next. But DuBerry was a great place to work and to get started in the profession, for sure. We were running 16 field crews at the time. I started out as a chainman on a 4-man crew, worked then instrument man, and then went into the office after about 3 or 4 months and started out just doing basic computations for house stakeouts. And we did a lot of subdivision work, so the subdivision stakeout. And then we had a WMATA subway contract. So after a couple of years, I moved and started working on that subway contract, which was really interesting. Got to go in the tunnels a few times. We would check the work that the layout work that the contractor did. And then I moved to the point where I was in charge of the survey computers who did that. And then after a couple of years, they chose someone else for that contract. And then I moved to, I really, you know, wanted to get my license. So I moved to the department that did the subdivision plats and the boundaries and started working on those.
So that particular, all of that experience that you had just then, that you just described, all kind of culminates. And so you decide it's time to get a license?
Yes, because I had taken my LSIT my senior year at Purdue. We all, you know, were expected to take it our senior year. And they always told us, you know, we've never had anybody not pass the LSIT test. So, you know, you really need to do well on this. So, you know, I'd already taken my LSIT. And so I applied then for my, let's see, I think it was when I was out of school 4 years, when at the regular time you could apply in Virginia at that time with 4 years experience after your LSIT. And I applied then to take my license.
Yeah, so we mostly refer to it now as obviously the fundamentals of surveying exam. And then the second one, the licensure exam, is the principles and practice of surveying. So that's the one you're talking about took, you became licensed in the early 90s.
Yes.
So once that happens, so you're licensed, so what do you do then and what are you up to now?
Let's see, I got laid off September 1990. I worked with another man who was licensed. The two of us would just do some surveys. And in the meantime, then I got my license June of the next year. And he wanted to hand draft and not, you know, I really wanted to work on, use AutoCAD and do it more, not more professionally, I would say, but, you know, more up-to-date ways of doing things. I just, when I got my license, I said, okay, this isn't working. I'm going to start my own business. So we started the process. I started the business, and then after a year, got certified with the DOT as a woman-owned business, and everything fell into place from there.
What was it like to be in that women-owned business?
Well, you know, any business is hard work. It's much more hard work than you think it's going to be, and then you realize. And it costs a lot more money than you realize. You don't, you know, as a worker, you have no idea how much in taxes the business is paying. So that was all tough. And then getting business, I didn't have trouble getting business. I started out just getting mortgage surveys we were doing at the time. That was before the mortgage survey affidavit went into place. So we were getting a lot of those, and the secretaries at the mortgage companies that you go into or the attorney's offices were so happy to see a woman surveyor walk in the door. But then the survey affidavit went into place the following year after we started the business, which worked out good because in the meantime, we had the certification as a woman-owned business, which we were 50%, 51%. Actually, it was 100% for me, but you have to be more than 51% woman-owned and be licensed in that profession. So, and at first, you know, I thought, I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to get work on my own. But I was president of the Mount Vernon chapter of the Virginia Association of Surveyors. I appreciated that I was accepted enough to be president, and everyone respected me. But on the same hand, I didn't get invited out to the after hours drinks and that kind of thing where the handshake type deals were made, you know? And so that made me really see the importance of those type programs for women-owned business and minority surveyors. And so, but once we were certified, then I would go around to the different companies and, you know, tell them I got certified. And by that time, my husband had come to work with me. We're both licensed surveyors. We both have a degree in surveying. We know what we're doing. And so we started getting on teams. We started getting jobs. But sometimes we'd get on a team and it'd take them 3 years to actually use us. And then once they would actually give us some work, they'd be, wow, you guys actually do know what you're doing, and start giving us all their survey work. So
you own a firm now in Georgia. So when did the move from Virginia to Georgia actually take place?
We sold the business in Virginia in 2001 and moved to Georgia. So I started out just doing drafting for other surveying firms for a year. Then people started calling me to ask me to do surveys. And so I got in contact with a friend I had worked with before. I recruited him and I asked him to be my partner. And we have been in business as GeoTerra for almost three years in April.
So what do you like about being in the Georgia area? Because you are located close to Atlanta, correct? And that's a pretty major metropolitan area. I would assume surveying in that area is more difficult than surveying in a more rural area.
Well, I've mostly surveyed in metropolitan areas, so I kind of like that more than the rural, but it's nice to get out in the country every once in a while. The good thing about in the metropolitan area, a lot of it's been surveyed before, so it's easy to find monuments. But in Atlanta, well, I take that back. It used to be that way when we were like in DC and Northern Virginia. Now, since the survey affidavit, you know, people have not had surveys on their properties for a long time. That came into effect in the early 90s. So now you go out to survey properties and a lot of times the corners are gone. They're old subdivisions that haven't really been platted very well. They may just have distances, no bearings. So it can sometimes be a challenge, but a lot of those houses, we're getting a lot of work in Atlanta because they are buying and flipping, fixing them up and flipping them and rehabilitating the neighborhoods. So that's what a lot of our work is coming from right now. And then we do also other residential work. So we're getting a lot of work for people with the pandemic. We've been very busy because people are not traveling, it seems. So they're putting their money into their homes, putting up fences, putting on additions, adding pools. And this requirements just get more and more stringent for the erosion and sediment control. So we're having to do full boundary topo tree surveys on those properties as well.
What is your favorite thing about being a surveyor?
The variety. One thing I didn't like in school was history, but now I love history. Seeing the history of a property, how it's changed hands, developed over the years. I love putting the deeds together and putting a puzzle together when you can't find a couple property corners, trying to figure out where they should be. I like the variety, being able to be outside one day in the office the next day, going to the courthouse to look through all the old land records. Those are the things I like the best about it.
Because we are NCEES and our role is to advance licensure for engineers and surveyors, tell me a little about why you feel it's important to have your professional surveyor's license and why others should get licensed.
The most important reason is the protection of the public. You need to really know the laws of the state. And I don't think, unless you have to really, you learn them in school or you have to sit down and study them. The other thing is for your own personal well-being, you can make more money, you can have a higher position in a company than you would. You have more flexibility with the type of work you want to do. You have more of a choice. And I think it just makes you a more well-rounded person. You have to get your continuing education, so you have to continue to learn about any new equipment and changes that are going on. And you're allowed to be more active in your state association as well.
And you mentioned this. What are some other things, ways that surveyors protect the public in your day-to-day work?
As an example, we did a survey a few weeks ago where a man had hired a fence stakeout company, which they went and found the pins, the property corners, and they built the fence to the property corners that they found, but they hadn't done the research, and there were two property corners 5 feet apart, so they didn't look for another corner 5 feet away and built the fence to the wrong corner, and it was on the neighbor's property. And so then they had to hire us to come back and resurvey, have the fence removed, replaced. So it ended up costing them a lot more money because of that unlicensed person going out there doing work that they shouldn't be doing. That's just a minor one in the residential.
Yeah, that's the exact reason we do surveys right there, isn't it? You know, you started out as a surveyor, an intern, and you've made your way to a professional surveyor. You've had your company, you've owned your company. You now own your own company in the Georgia area, in the Atlanta area. So it seems to be a success. What do you attribute your success to?
Well, first to my dad for telling me I could do anything I want to do. You know, he always pushed me to do non-traditional girl things. My husband for supporting me. He's more of a technical type person, like a lot of engineers and surveyors are. He'd rather just be doing the work and not out there talking with people. So it worked out good because I would be involved in the Survey Association. He would go to meetings when he could, but he was the one that was there taking care of the kids while I was busy with that type of thing. My professors at Purdue, they always pushed me and were hard on me. At one point, I thought they really didn't like me, but I came to learn that they were pushing me because they knew, you know, I had the potential, could be successful. And also, I think going into it, I was a little bit naive, you know. I just thought, well, I can do this. So, and I never took no for an answer, and I'm not a quitter. I think that's why.
So as a successful female surveyor, so do you have any suggestions to, I guess, the female population about either becoming a surveyor or owning a surveying business?
Yeah, definitely. I like to go to schools and do career days, and I tell the girls and the minorities, you know, I try and talk with minority students as well, because like it or not, surveying, there's not a lot of minorities in it. So I like to, tell them just stick with your math and science. If you like math and science, continue with it and don't take no for an answer. That surveying is a good way to make good money. You know, if you're right out of school, you can go into it without having a degree, or you can as a technician, and then you can go back and get your degree and get licensed later on if you like it. If you're already in it, keep pushing to get your license, because there's not many, as they can see, there's not many women in it as there is, and especially not many licensed women. So keep pushing to get your license, even though it seems like 4 years of school or 2 years of school to get my classes for certification. It goes quickly, and before you know it, you're licensed. So just do it. If you're starting a business, try and have a little bit of money. It does take money for equipment and for 3 or 4 months till you're starting to get a cash flow to pay employees.
Anything else from the women-owned business side or surveying side that you would like to share?
I think it's great that women are more involved in engineering and surveying. And what I told my daughters, they didn't want to be engineers. They both wanted to be nurses. And I said, you know, I'm happy that you want to be a nurse. I think that but I want you to go into nursing thanking all those women who came for you, because during my generation that broke the field open so that you didn't have to be a nurse or a teacher or a secretary, because there were not many, as I said, not many women went into non-traditional roles at that time. So I really appreciated the women when I started going to the ACSM and the national conferences seeing those women that came before me and were already doing it really lit a spark in me to really want to go for it. That's one thing. And not to let what others say, most put you down. I have to just do what you want to do and keep pushing ahead.
And you make a very powerful statement when you say, you know, thank the people before you that have kind of broken down barriers that needed to be broken down and somebody had to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. You know, when you're in school, if you want to take that math class and they say you're not qualified for it and you think you are, just push to take it. So for the parents out there, you need to stay on top of their teachers and make sure that they are getting the help they need and support they need to keep moving forward.
Totally agree. Couldn't agree more. It has been fun talking with you.
I appreciate you having me. And I've enjoyed it as well.
Thank you, Carrie, for joining us today. Your surveying story and path to licensure is not only fascinating, but also very inspiring. We appreciate you taking the time to share your thoughts with us. And for all our listeners out there, thank you for joining us today. Please take a minute to leave us a review. This simple action can help others, like yourself, find and share this podcast. Have a great day, and we'll see you again on our next episode of Advance, an NCEES podcast series.